And that would be the cue to start talking, and welcome aboard. It is a Thursday edition of the Dennis Stuckey Show. Didn't really have a show yesterday. It was more like an extended pregame show from SC4, where we did the men's and women's games, and they probably will never invite us back again, Paul Costanzo, because we're clearly bad luck. Sammy Klink had 18 of her 20 in the first half. McComb's pretty good. The girls are ranked fifth, and they've won 22 in a row. And I don't know, should I even give the final score?
You don't have to. I don't. It was a lot. McComb is, I mean, they're undefeated. They're ranked fifth in the country. They're very, very good. Yeah. So that's tough.
And then the men's game was tied at 53 with like 10 minutes to go, and we came out of a timeout, and all of a sudden it was 89-74. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. I mean, McComb's men are good, too. Fun story, though. Richard Washington, who scored 26 points for us, for SC4, last night, his high school actually was on campus visiting during the day, and he helped us out with that and talked to some of his former high school classmates. So clearly that motivated him to play well. So I think that they should do that. I mean, that's a thing. It's pretty clear that that's the way to have a good game personally, is to help out Paul during the day.
Well, he hit five threes, which helped out Stuckey get some free fries today.
There you go. Good things for everybody.
So, yeah, it all worked out in the end. Just real quick, because I know I've seen you around at games, so I know you've covered a little bit of high school basketball this season. There's a few things that I don't want them to get ignored or lost in the shuffle in a busy week where there's a whole lot of other stuff that we're going to talk about. But Becky Gilbert will be on the show tomorrow. Her Lady Big Reds are the white champions, 10-0 in league, 17-0 on the season. Tuesday they beat Sterling Heights 66-7.
Wow.
They've got a really good team this year, and they're deep, too. It's not like they've got one or two superstars. They've got like seven or eight really good players who all kind of play the same way.
Yeah, they are good. And they've got, I mean, not only are they good right now, but they've got a lot of good young players kind of coming up. I think it's the sophomore class that was, I got to see them play a little bit at Central Middle School. That's where my wife teaches and coaches. So you could see them coming through. And the younger Gilbert, she hit a half-court shot in the first tournament we had at the Fieldhouse. So it was like, oh, she'll probably be fine. And it turns out she is. She's very good. So, yeah, impressive stuff. And it's just awesome to see that team doing that. And, I mean, that kind of dominance, holding a team, I don't care who you're playing, holding a team to 7 points is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, just an incredible effort there.
Yeah. And the MAC Gold Champs are Marine City. They're 9-1 in the league and 14-2 overall this year. They've got a real good team led by Morgan McConnell. But again, she's not the only weapon they have. They've got three or four kids that can play really well. And on the boys' side, there's a little bit of a big game going on in St. Clair tonight. St. Clair and Northern are playing for sole possession of first place in the gold. They're both 6-2 in league play. St. Clair is St. Clair, Paul. All their kids look the same to me and play the same way year in and year out. At Northern, there's reason for excitement because the Jameson kid is really good.
He is. He's very good. And it's a nice mix, too, with him because, you know, Tyler is the younger, exciting player who does a little bit of everything, which you love to see from a star player at a young age. But, you know, James is along. I mean, we talk about him a lot during football season, too. But, I mean, he kind of makes that go. And then they're just good. I mean, they got a good inside presence. They got good shooters. I mean, that's a really well-balanced team. And it took them a while to get going.
Yeah.
The first game against St. Clair,
when Ryan McNeil plays good, Northern's tough to beat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's real tough to handle. down low. And he's dealing with, you know, Ryan Zimmer down there playing against St. Clair. I mean, that's a tough kid to deal with. But he handled himself pretty well in that first game. I think, you know, we had double-digit scoring and nearly double-digit rebounds. And, you know, the Stoner kid, I mean, he can shoot it, and he hit some big ones. And I don't know, they're a very good team. But, you know, and I have to play in St. Clair, which is not only is the student section notorious for getting kind of crazy, but that's a weird gym. And it's just a different place to play. So that's going to be a tough game.
It's the same size as everybody else's gym, but it just feels so small in there. It's claustrophobic. Ooh. And I think it's tough if you're the road team.
There's just no room on the end. Like, there's no room on either side. There's a stage on the one side and a wall on the other, and the crowd's right on top of you. Like, you're right. It's a regulation-sized court with a very small gym put around it. So it is a tough place. But that game should be fun, though.
So we got two league champs for the girls, a league, probably a league champ for the boys between St. Clair and Northern. Who knows? Maybe they'll end up tying for the championship in the end. But a big advantage to whoever wins tonight. PH is only a game back in the silver, and Marine City's only a game back in the bronze. So we've had a lot of good basketball this winter from the guys and the gals.
Yeah, that's really cool to see. Because, you know, a lot of the years when I was covering teams, you know, it was tough for our teams to compete in those MAC divisions. And, you know, we'd have some really solid players come up every once in a while, but it was rare to see a moment like this where you had this many teams competing for conference titles. And the games between the teams, like the interconference games, those crossovers, like those are really fun too. So it is. It's a really good moment for Blue Water area basketball.
All right. Before I get into D'Antonio, because you know we have to talk about that, Michigan State, Michigan on Saturday. Both these teams come into this game probably needing this game because they haven't really been playing crisp basketball lately.
Yeah, I would be lying to you if I said I had any idea what was going to happen this weekend. Like, there's just this, these two teams, every time I think I have a bit of an idea of what's about to happen with them, they go the opposite way. Like, I felt like Michigan State was really getting into a good moment, and then they've lost some games. You know, there's some tight road games, Indiana and Wisconsin, those are tough, but you know, Wisconsin is missing one of its best players. Both of those games are winnable. Then you lose a home game to Penn State. I mean, I don't know. And Michigan, I mean, I was kind of ready to leave them for dead after that stretch that they had, and then, you know, they win a couple games, including the Rutgers game, which is technically a home game at Madison Square Garden, which is hilarious. But, you know, that's a really good win. And then they come home and lose to a good Ohio State team. Again, winnable game. So I don't know. I have a really tough time getting any kind of grasp on where these two teams are at.
They'll tip off at noon on Saturday. And like I said, I think just having a rivalry game will be a shot in the arm to both of these teams. And I actually think they're not playing well, but we'll have a really well-played game on Saturday is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think you're right. And I think you're definitely right about it being a shot in the arm because it can be a springboard for whoever wins it. And you just hope that whoever loses it, they don't let it affect their season too negatively.
All right, let's talk about Mark D'Antonio. And the first thing about this is it was so awkward. Okay, this is Mark D'Antonio. Yeah. This is a big deal. And he tweets it out, and the press conference is an after the fact thing.
Yeah, I was shocked, like absolutely shocked. I mean, like most people, when I saw it, and you know, the timing was bizarre. It was the day before signing day. You know, there was talk about allegations coming out from, you know, Curtis Blackwell, and all that, but it's a couple weeks after he got that, essentially that longevity bonus, the $4.3 million longevity bonus. And so it was just a weird all the way around. And I got to think that, you know, maybe it is the Blackwell stuff. I don't know. But there's got to be something beyond that, and I hope it's not something health related or anything like that, but it's just such a bizarre situation. Because at the end of the season, he was talking like, you know, he was ready to go if they were going to have him. And now, you know, here we are in February and Michigan State has a coaching search.
Yeah. It does seem to me like in a few weeks or whatever, we're going to find out that there's a little more to this than what's being talked about right now. And he's so tight-lipped and stoic anyways, you know, it's like trying to get blood from a rock.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Not that we would expect him to come out and say something like that. It's interesting. And, you know, thank goodness for Michigan State that there's an early signing day, so you're able to get a lot of kids signed and in your recruiting class before this. Think about it. If there wasn't that early signing day and you're counting on every kid in your recruiting class to sign the day after your coach resigns, that would have been brutal. But even then, it's a really tough situation for that program right now.
Who do you think gets this job? Who do you think wants this job?
There's been a lot of talk about Luke Fickell. It sounds like he might be the guy. I don't know. There's rumors, of course. Anytime there's a coaching search, rumors flying around about this stuff. But Pat Narduzzi came out and pretty solidly said he's not leaving Pitt. But it's just an interesting situation to be in. The roster right now is not in the best place. You're dealing with second, third-tier program in your division at this point. You're dealing with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State every year. It's a tough job, but it does sound like Fickell is at least interested, so that would obviously be a really nice hire for them.
All right. A couple other things here that I'll just get your brief opinion on. Andre Drummond was traded today by the Pistons to Cleveland for next to nothing. Salary dump.
It seems like a thing. Like they're desperate to get rid of him. They got zero back, so... I don't know. The Pistons, I don't remember the last time they made a move that I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good thing. So I guess you just kind of expect it at this point.
I was hoping for more. Shook predicted they'd make 5-6 trades, and he was really disappointed when I was texting with him earlier today.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you hold on to, Rose and Morris and Kennard and guys who you would think would have some value. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I'd like to know what they were doing. I guess that's my point here.
And a guy that I think you were golf buddies with once. I think you used to go golfing with Jack Campbell, didn't you?
I never golfed with Jack. I wrote a lot about him, but I never golfed with him. I think I was on a course when he was on. He was like a hole ahead of me. But yeah, going to Toronto, that's exciting. Because right now, Frederick Anderson's hurt. They don't know how long he's going to be hurt, and Toronto seems to be desperate. If not for, just for somebody to take over for right now, somebody that can spell him. And it sounds like they're going to give him a shot. It's one of the most historic clubs in the NHL, so that's just a really cool thing for Jack. And plus, he's closer to home, which is nice.
Closer to home. I wish the Red Wings would have gotten in on that, because that would be a nice guy to have for the next 3 to 5 years, because the Wings aren't really deep at that position.
Well, and he's, his salary this year is still under $1 million, and then for the next 2 years after that, I think he's 1.65. Yeah, that's a nice deal. That's a good guy to have on your book.
And at 28, these are his prime years.
Exactly. And one thing that I've always loved about Jack as a player is that when the spotlight is brightest, he's at his best. He's always been like that. Maybe if Toronto forces him into action here, that comes out of him. And he's put up some pretty good numbers in his time in the NHL, but... it'd be interesting to see if, he can be that, top 10 pick like he was.
Yeah. Well, he had a great season for a bad team last year in L.A., and the spotlight won't get any brighter than in Toronto.
Exactly. Hey. So I think it'll be good for him.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right. We'll talk to you.
All right.
Paul Costanzo joining us on the program. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Dennis Stuckey Show here on AM 1380 WPHM.